1583. The present time is 8:50. We will continue hearing today on House Bill 131. I'm trying to find my copy here.
Vern, you want to close that door, please?
You just kind of
a copy of the bill?
Yeah, how it is.
Oh, sir. Where's the furnace here? You know, it gets you up to early in the morning. This is noon. Okay, does everybody have a copy of the bill? Oh, I know Jeff has my copy of the bill.
I thought this was Ramona and Abu that got you up to it.
Who?
Ramona and Abu.
Abu, baby. Okay, Ramona doesn't like Marty either. Just a week of my own here. Again, the meeting is called to order. The legislation for consideration this morning is House Bill 131, an act relating to unlawful practice in the sale of rental or real property. We do have a number of persons on the line in Anchorage that wish to testify on this bill. Do we know, do we have a listing of those persons?
There's about 7 people.
In Anchorage?
Yes, Nina, who's the first witness who would like to speak today?
The first person to speak today will be George Hansen. We're having a problem. You're breaking up.
Okay, I think it's just not getting close enough to the microphone this morning. Could you quickly give us a list of all the witnesses to speak in Anchorage?
I've got George Hansen, Dennis Cottrell, Kendall, Ben Marsh, Mr. Varnell, Greg Johnson, Eugene Devine, Alice Brewer, Mary Sue.
Good morning to those people who are in Anchorage. It's awful early here with us too, having problems getting started. The committee members present this morning are Representative Copeland, Winty, the prime sponsor of the bill, Representative Herbert, Representative Cowdery, Ewing, and Chairman Furness. Rather than hold you ladies and gentlemen there for very long, what we would propose to do is go ahead and start taking your testimony. I would ask that you identify yourself, spell your last name, and the organization that you represent, if any at all. You may proceed at this time.
Good morning, Chairman Furness and members of the committee. I'm Dr. George Hansen, and I speak as the president of the Alaska Landlords and Property Managers Association. My last name is spelled H-A-N-S-E-N. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to testify in opposition to House Bill 131. This issue is not new to the legislature, nor to the organization I represent. The arguments have not changed since a similar measure was last defeated. The landlord and owner see the need to match tenants with rental properties. Tenants' advocates see a need to wrest this control of rental property from owners and landlords for various reasons. In this particular instance, we are considering an apparent or perceived discrimination against children and their parents. The facts belie that claim. There is no state of discrimination against children or their parents, but there may well be a short-term housing shortage to be addressed. There can be no discrimination against any class of tenant in a free housing market if the amount of housing is adequate. He who discriminates will be without tenants. Anchorage is an excellent case in point to demonstrate the operation of the free market. We are only now recovering from a severe housing shortage. As recently as last December, there were few rental units available. Families with children did have difficulty finding places to rent, but then so did anyone looking for a rental unit. That situation has changed. I was astounded to find that as of last Thursday, the 10th of March, the Anchorage Times Classified had 355 ads for more than 355 rental units where children are welcome. That is 94% of the units advertised. Only 23 would decline children, and the majority of those would accept infants. 17 of those declining children were one-bedroom or efficiency apartments. The bottom line is that of 378 advertisements, only 6 totally refused children. This complete change in the Anchorage housing market has not come about because of any legislation dictating the change, nor has it happened because of a profound change in landlord attitude. There is simply a greater availability of all housing, and that availability appears to be increasing steadily. Builders and developers have responded to the demand. Controls exacerbate shortages. For instance, efficiency units are built for single persons. If the law requires that efficiencies be rented to families or to single parents with children, where will the person for whom the unit was constructed find housing? Net result would be overcrowding without relief of the primary cause, namely insufficient units for families with children. You will hear testimony this morning from persons who have made it their business to develop and maintain rental units for profit. You will note that they try to meet the demands of the market. They do not invite failure by refusing to permit the designed use of their property. In conclusion, I would remind the representatives that last year we narrowly escaped a rent control measure that may well have stifled the development of the new rental units we are now enjoying in Anchorage. I would ask that you carefully avoid making an inappropriate legislative move in an honest desire to correct a social problem that is non-existent. You helped us correct the housing shortage in Anchorage, and thereby eliminated a perceived discrimination against children and parents in that city. If other Alaskan communities seem to have that problem, please treat the cause to cure the symptom. Help us to encourage creation of more and better housing by assuring investors, builders, owners, and managers that they need not fear further governmental regulation of their properties, and that they can be assured that construction costs will be met and the rentals will show some profit. We respectfully request that House Bill 131 receive no further consideration in this legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you, Dr. Hansen. We will entertain brief questions from the committee members at this time. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Hugh Malone. Mr. Hansen, do you regard House Bill 131 as a control measure?
There are certain elements of the existing law which are control, which has been accepted by the United States as a whole. Addition of a parentage control takes from the landlord or the owner or the manager the ability to select that tenant which would best accommodate the residents. In that regard, it is a control measure.
Which part of the legislation would prevent the landlord from selecting the tenant that best accommodates the unit?
That part which states that any decision made regarding parentage implies that size of family selected for a unit would be not under the control of the manager.
You mentioned the legislation that was considered in the last legislature. Are you familiar with the letter of intent that was adopted by the House of Representatives in the last legislature on the question you just raised, that is the size of the family or number of people living in the dwelling unit?
It appears, Representative Malone, that no one at this table is familiar with that
document.
I was just going to say that there isn't anything in this legislation that would prevent a landlord from placing reasonable rules and regulations on the use of the property. For instance, if there were a unit that could not accommodate a family because of the number of people in the family and the size of the unit, there isn't anything from having a landlord or owner lay down rules to say this unit's suitable for only one person or this unit's suitable for only three people or however many that reasonably complies with the unit. And I think that that's a point that needs to be understood on the legislation.
I understand that proposition. Our feeling is that it does leave open to a third-party consideration whether or not the property is large enough to satisfy a given tenancy. That is to say, if the landlord makes the arbitrary decision that an efficiency apartment will not allow a single parent with a small child, then by the law, that parent would, in my understanding, be able to seek redress. The landlord may overcome, however, it would be greatly inconvenient, to say the least.
Yeah, Mr. Hansen, I think you're correct on that, in that any rules or regulations that were laid down would have to be reasonable, and they would be subject to review either by the Human Rights Commission or the courts under the proposed statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Dr. Hansen. We have a number of other persons to be heard. What I would ask the committee members, that we have approximately an hour and a half during this teleconference, and we want to make sure that all persons are given an opportunity to be heard. Additionally, we have two people that are here from last week's hearing that I'd like to take at least one of those persons after Dr. Hansen's testimony. And is
reserve questions.
Let's go ahead then and continue the questions here. Representative Cowdery is next.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Representative Cowdery, Dr. Hansen. We have had testimony on this in the last few days, this bill, and some of the testimony indicated that by being in an apartment, and some people that got pregnant through no fault of their own or whatever, that had indicated that they would have to move and had got given notice to move, and that the rent was going to be either higher when they had to move, and anyway the rent was going to be higher because they had to move into other quarters that was set up for children. I would just like, if you could briefly summarize, are utilities normally higher where children occupy apartments, or what about insurance rates, wear and tear on furniture and appliances and things of that nature, and about the costs involved for single apartments versus apartments with children, two-bedroom apartments, things of that nature.
Representative Cowdery, it's been my experience that it does not depend, those costs are not dependent upon the size or age of the occupant as much as upon the number of occupants. That is, two adults use a certain amount of hot water to shower and so forth, and that runs up the utility bill. One adult obviously does not cost that much in terms of utilities. With children, I believe that same reasoning would hold true. In the survey that I conducted between Thursday and last night, I did not find any case in Anchorage where the landlord would now require a newly pregnant person to move simply because they would have more difficulty filling their apartment unit now than they would have had last year. Last year that may have been the case in Anchorage. I couldn't testify to that point, sir, but I think now that has changed. I believe here again we're looking at the primary problem of housing shortage. To answer specifically your question, though, about costs, children do not necessarily increase the cost. Adults could increase, one additional adult could increase the cost of a rental unit to the owner as much as one additional child could.
Representative Cowley, additional question?
No, that's fine.
Representative Ewing?
Yeah, am I on now? Okay, thank you. This is Dr. Hansen, I'm speaking. This is Representative Ewing. On line 17 of the present bill that we have before us, we're talking about singles and married couples, and I was wondering what your estimation was of the amount of newspaper advertising and so on where they just specifically ask for singles and married couples in specific apartment units. Is that going to, by deleting that particular section of the law, what will the impact be from the side of the landlord as far as trying to allow singles to occupy condominium complexes or apartment buildings?
Representative Ewing, as I reviewed the Anchorage Times, there was only one ad which said that the property, I believe the wording was, oriented toward adults only. There was no ad that said this unit is for singles only or this unit is for married couples only.
Okay, if I might just follow up then, what you're saying then essentially is that we're not really seeing a lot of discrimination in the law or discrimination in the newspaper, just specifically spelling out singles and certain classes of people.
That is correct, sir, as of last Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Ewing. Representative Winton.
Mr. Anderson, you seem to suggest that Mr. Hansen. You seem to suggest that the problem, I don't think there's any question there is a problem, but the reason for the problem in your mind is strictly one of lack of supply of rental housing at certain times, which you're arguing isn't the case in Anchorage. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm sorry, I did not get the name of the speaker, but that is our experience in Anchorage, yes.
This is Representative Wente. What there seems to have been a large development of rental housing in Anchorage. How is that being financed?
If you'll give us just a moment, Representative Wente, we'll determine that. Ben Marsh is here, and I believe he can address that issue.
Representative Wente, this is Ben Marsh. Our perception is that the builders and developers are being able to proceed with new housing because they're being encouraged by the banks, by the state loan programs, and by the municipality in terms of zoning new property to go ahead and invest risk capital and build new units. They're doing that in great numbers. We see something like 1,200 new units coming online this summer.
So essentially, if I can interpret your remarks, a large part, the ability to develop new units is being done because of the state loan programs and also because of the subsidies that are involved in that, from which all the people in Alaska are participating, whether it be direct subsidies on 1 to 4 family units for Alaska Housing or bond sales through ADA or Alaska Housing, that the state of Alaska is essentially providing that subsidy and allowing the landlords in this instance to develop housing using monies belonging to all the people of Alaska. And the question before us now is it proper for the state, after providing that subsidy, to benefit the landlord and the renter to consider additional restrictions? Is that correct?
Representative Wente, this is Ben Marsh again. I'd say that you are essentially correct. I would go one step further and say that risk capital is encouraged to be invested by the absence of controls. I think that we believe here that rent control, for example, a rent review would have stifled the surge of new housing that we see here today.
But I agree with that. But I guess we're in a situation of saying we love the benefits of the state, and they're providing cheap money for us from which we can make additional money. But there's concerns raised when the state wants to participate to protect other concerns that are brought before the legislature.
Well, Representative Wendy, we urge the state to have the same faith that we have in the free market system. We think that it works pretty well. Representative Winter, this is Dr. Hansen once again. There is another reason why the housing shortage in Anchorage has been relieved somewhat, and that is because of the loans which have been made available for families to purchase housing, so that some of those that were formerly tenants are now becoming landowners.
Thank you, Dr. Hansen. Let me recognize Representative Copeland at this time.
Yes, I understand. This is Representative Copeland, Dr. Hansen. And last time I met Adam Smith, I think he said that a free market is one where the seller is free to sell and where the buyer is free to buy. A restriction by the seller is still a restriction, just as much as is imposed by the government. Would you say?
I would certainly have to agree with that definition if we stick to Adam Smith. And I would say simply that there are restrictions on the part of many sellers and many buyers. In this case, the manager certainly has something there to guard.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Copeland. And Representative Malone, one wrap-up question, please. Thank you. Representative Malone has passed. I'd like to ask Mrs. Judy, is it Berkeley? She's still here?
Mm-hmm.
Right, would you come forth at this time? For those of you who are in Anchorage, we have a number of people, as I mentioned, who were here last week, and we promised to give them an opportunity to also testify. We will beam their testimonies for your consideration also. Judy, would you come forth at this time, please? If you'll identify yourself, share your last name and who you represent, if anyone.
Press down on the bar.
Press down on the bar there, if you will, please.
My name is Judy Brakel, representing myself and my children, and thank you for this opportunity to testify. Do I keep holding this button?
John, flip her on automatically.
When there's a surplus of housing, then often landlords are willing to rent to anyone, but when there is a shortage, there is far more discrimination against children. I think nationally, we're seeing more and more housing shortage and a larger percentage of people, especially people with young families, having to rent, not owning their own house. In Juneau, there has been a long-standing severe housing shortage that has lasted at least since 1970. When my first child was born, when I was expecting my first child, we had to move from an apartment house that was a few blocks away from this room because I was going to have a baby. That child is now 17 years old. In the intervening years, I had many difficulties finding rental housing where they would take children. Often money was not the object. I did not have a large income, but I was willing to spend two-thirds of it for housing, but frequently was not when I would follow up on available housing that I had heard about, when I told them that I had three children, they were not willing to take us. I felt that this was unjust because I mean, I didn't think there was any substantial practical reason for this, other than that the kids did make a certain amount of noise, but so do people with loud stereos who like to play rock all night. So I don't think, and the children were not particularly messy or destructive at all. I think that it's a period in our culture when we are not particularly in favor of children. I have the hope that this period is kind of beginning to come to an end. But it is a cultural phenomenon. Someone who worked for legal services said that in Bethel, there is a housing shortage, but being a somewhat different cultural situation, it was not worse for families with children because children were more acceptable in the culture in Bethel. I think that there is some benefit. Well, it may be a period in our culture when it's felt as better not to have so many children. And this has happened in many other cultures too, but in many other cultures, for instance, the Bushmen of the Kalahari, they could not afford to have many more children, but they all appreciated the children that they were. They all encouraged them. I think that some of the supposed safety net that exists in our culture for families with children, that they can get, you possibly think that, oh well, there's this and that kind of housing set up for families and children. Lots of times these things don't work for very many people. The subsidized housing, for instance, here we have Cedar Park and so on, frequently the waiting lists are so long that really to have a real shot at getting a place there, you kind of need to be on welfare because that's the top of the waiting list. And I was told number of times in my desperate searches for housing that, well, if we can just get you on welfare, then you will have a better situation. And I really didn't want to go on welfare, and I had a decent job. And so, I even found this in attempting to get a subsidized loan at one point. Farmers' home loans. Someone at one point was sort of directed towards people, like if I happen to be at that point a single parent, sort of was directed towards people like that. But my income was too large. They said, "Well, if you could get you on welfare," and I found that the majority of people I knew who got those loans were single people or married couples without children, because you get in this bind where, as a parent, single parent, or a young family with several children, the banks are going to look at you and say, "Oh, you don't have enough money." But when you try to get on the subsidized housing situation, you have too much money. And this even can apply to. I had something I was going to bring in here. This is the last thing I want to mention. I had some regulations that were being promulgated a couple years ago by Alaska Housing ASHA, and they had the upper limits of the income that you could earn and still qualify for one of these loans. And for a single person, it was $25,000 a year. For a family of four, it was $28,000 a year. You point out that if you had two children, you might have a $7,000 daycare bill in a year. Somehow, there was a situation where you had to earn more money because of your children, but that bumped you out of the criteria for receiving the Alaska Housing Loan.
Thank you, Mrs. Breckholm. We appreciate your testimony. The next person we'd like to hear, and then for a short testimony, hopefully, is Mr. Tom Gillespie. This gentleman was with us the other day, and I promised to take those testimonies. We'll be back to Anchorage in a second here. Let's make sure that mic is open so that the people in Anchorage can.
I press the bar and push this on.
Or push the switch away one
of them. Oh, I'm on automatic.
Tommy, if you want to, again, identify yourself and your last name and who you may be representing.
My name is Tom Gillespie, G-I-L-L-E-S-P-I-E, and I represent myself, my two children, and my wife. And I just want to shortly say that I've lived in Juneau, Fairbanks, and the village of Kivalina.
And I have been discriminated against in rental housing. Right now, I'm not renting a house. I own a house. I have one time tried to rent a house which had absolutely nothing in it, no art objects or anything like that. And I had my damage deposit accepted by the daughter of the person renting the place. His daughter was well above the age of consent because she knew what she was doing. And 2 weeks later, was mysteriously told, oh, the place had been rented before you came there, which it wasn't, because I eventually met the people who rent the place, and they had rented it after I did. I think that in Juneau, if you look around where parents with children do live and rent, they tend to be almost stuck in children's ghettos around here, because there are certain places that will rent to children and other places that won't. And I think that this whole thing with children is essentially a white urban problem in Alaska. I know that probably all 200 people living in the village of Kivalina would probably think that, that this entire legislation is almost crazy, just the consideration of eliminating children from housing. And I would urge the passage of this bill, but I would also urge the deletion of the phrase commonly known for housing for singles or married couples only. Because I think this creates a situation where you'll have very creative advertising in the newspaper. And while Dr. Hansen read the Anchorage Times this weekend, I read the Anchorage Daily News, and there were a good number of adult preferred ads in that paper there. The reason I would urge this deletion is I would rather wait for a groundswell of singles and married couples who would like to see their inalienable rights to live without kids come about. It is deleted? No. Okay, well, I would urge the passage of, I don't know how much this would really eliminate the problem, because I think people can be very creative when they've when they're interested in preventing certain groups of people from living somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillespie. Rather than take additional questions at this time, let's return to Anchorage. And Dr. Hansen, if you'll have those persons there come and provide their testimony, what I would like to do is take the testimony without question, so that...
Sure.
Yes.
Who's in charge of the meeting in Anchorage, Dr. Hansen, or is it open to the general public?
Well, I think it's open to the general public, but there are seven people there, as I understand, and what I'm asking them at this time is to come in and present their testimony. Any problems with that?
No problems. Are the Landlords Association controlling the testimony in Anchorage?
The seven persons in Anchorage, is my understanding, all with the Landlords Association. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
It's not a public teleconference in Anchorage.
In this case, I believe it was an invitational hearing. Hold on a second.
Did we make this little notice of the public clear back there?
We've got somewhat of a question here that we can certainly resolve later. I would like for those persons in Anchorage to provide their testimony at this time. Thank you.
My name is Dennis Kendall, and I'm here representing myself, really, as an owner-builder. I'm not really associated with Dr. Hansen's, I believe it's Landlord-Tenant Association. I haven't been a part of that association in the past, nor am I now. So I'm here really representing myself, representing my own family and our interests. I might just, to make this brief, outline my experience here in Alaska with regard to the business of rental units. Coming here as a school teacher in 1970, we were in a situation where we needed to rent for a period of time, and did so until we were able to purchase a small trailer. That allowed us then to build some equity, move into a home. And at home, we had a downstairs single room, apartment that we could rent out, which helped us substantially in being able to build equity in that home, and even being able to live in that that home, so that we could share the costs with another individual. Well, just as time progressed, we had began build equity, and from a business standpoint, felt that it would be good to invest that capital, and so sold that duplex in an effort to build a nineplex. Now, I had done some research. This was in 1975. I had done some research on what was happening in the market here in Anchorage. Tried to do my homework, because this was my own my own capital, that I was going to go to the bank with whatever equity I had and talk to a banker, see if I could get into the business of renting apartments. Felt good about that. Did the research, found that the average age here at that time was 23. A lot of young people in Alaska, a lot of singles, a lot of people here working, and then found that as rentals were at that time renting, the vacancy factor, as I did the research back then, was like about 1 or 2%, maybe 3 at the highest for single room, small apartments, one-bedroom apartments. As you went up in number, the vacancy factor, for instance, in a three-bedroom, raised substantially to maybe 6 to 10%. And so I just, from an economic standpoint, made the decision to design and build a nineplex with one-bedroom apartments. Rather efficient, well-built, but single-bedroom apartments. Doing so, I did feel like my clientele that I was working toward to please and to meet their needs were young adults, singles, and basically we started off the business renting to people who did not have any children. Whenever we would rent one of those units, many times, not whenever, but many times, I'd have one of my children. We now have 6 children of our own, so we're certainly not against the family, not against children in any degree, and so we would maybe even have one of our children. We didn't ever have any problem with people disagreeing because they would see the size of the unit. They would look at it, and they would determine many times on their own that it was not appropriate in size or accommodation for a family, let alone 2 or 3 children. I don't know what the law is, but the living conditions certainly do not promote having several children in a one-room or a one-bedroom apartment. I'm not sure that I could, if in fact there were were a possibility to have children move into a one-bedroom apartment, feel in good conscience to move 2 or 3 children into one of my apartments because of just the living conditions which they would find themselves under, size-wise and otherwise. Well, I then invested in additional properties, had an individual who looked at my apartment, thought it was an excellent design, built 31 units. A year or so later, decided and felt that he would like to sell them, and I purchased them from him. So I've, over the period of years now, managed those 40-some-odd units, which are not a great number, but it's been a kind of a mom-and-pop business where I and my wife have done all of the managing, done all of the work associated with the apartment, and have had a very pleased, as far as we can determine, tenancy. We have, in effect, because of the size of the units, we have, in effect, I suppose, discriminated against those who are family-oriented, who would have several children. However, as we have had the experience, we've never, with regard to pregnancy, if a woman were pregnant and they knew that we leased primarily those who did not have children, if she was pregnant and desired to rent the apartment, certainly that couple did rent the apartment. And there is the opportunity for a landlord to make those decisions on a local basis. And I feel very strongly that as soon as we promote legislation which takes away from the individual owner and, in fact, the person who is the lease of that apartment, the right to make judgments at this low level where it's really going to affect the people involved, both the tenant and the landlord, I think we then open Pandora's box to many kinds of problems I don't think I personally would like to see in my small operation or my small business. But we've had an excellent response from the community here in Anchorage with regard to the rental of our units, and have found no problem. I would, if legislation were passed which did say specifically that I couldn't have the freedom to rent to individuals who are single or adults, and allow that primary population who are interested in my apartment to be there. For instance, if I were to move right now, children, say a woman came or a couple came and they had three children and they felt in their judgment because of their finances or their needs that the apartment was sufficiently large to meet their needs. I felt that it wasn't. They definitely could go ahead and I'm sure rent the apartment under this new legislation, House Bill number 131. I would then have to go through some kind of a procedure to show them that that was not appropriate. It would just be an uncomfortable situation. What would that do to all of the other tenants who have come there in my unit, say, to rent because of the fact that they are single, that they do prefer to live in an environment such as that? I think that that we would be hurting more people than we would be helping, frankly, in this type of legislation. So I would certainly be against give testimony as a person, an owner builder, not associated with any housing association here in Anchorage, that this kind of legislation certainly does take away the free agency of both parties involved to make a decision on the level which it should be made rather than on a legislative level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall. I will remind the people in Anchorage we have approximately 30 minutes left for this teleconference. We'll take the next person at this time.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I want to follow up my question to you earlier about what we're hearing from Anchorage. Would you explain to me what the teleconference is at the Anchorage end so that I can understand how it was put together and who's here to testify?
Thank you, Representative Malone. The people in Anchorage are representing the Landlord Tenants Association, as I understand. They had a chance to review the legislation and has requested an opportunity to address it. We did discuss a teleconference, and I believe we did discuss an area-wide teleconference. Unfortunately, this is not it. If it's the desire of this committee to hold an area-wide teleconference, I have no problem with that. The persons that are in Anchorage today are thereby a special request to address this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for Mr. Kendall in that case. Mr. Kendall, you said you were not associated with any, I think you said Landlords Association or whatever. How did you find out about the meeting to get there to testify?
Dr. Hansen is a personal friend of mine. We've known each other because of other acquaintanceships over the years, and he called and indicated that there was such a hearing and asked if, because of my own my property ownership, I would be interested in learning about this House bill. And until yesterday, I had no knowledge of this House bill number 131. I appreciated Dr. Hansen contacting me and making this opportunity available to me, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall.
Okay, would the next person in Anchorage to testify please come forth? Again, state your name, spell it for the record, and identify who you represent.
My name is Greg Johnson. I was formerly with Alaska Pacific Bank as their vice president in charge of construction financing. I am presently self-employed as a builder developer. I'm presently building 28 units. These units are units that are in a fourplex configuration. They're being sold to individual investors. Just for your information to show how effective the Alaska Housing Program is right now, seven of seven fourplexes, three of them have been sold to owner-occupied owners that are applying for financing under Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. These units were built in direct response to that program being implemented last summer, and provides a way for people that have been able to build up an equity in Alaska to move into home ownership and even have some rental units that they can manage and get additional income or tax benefits from, which is the case on fourplexes right now. Most of these investments are at best a break-even investment on cash flow, but with tax benefits and appreciation, work out well for a small investor. Along the lines of the issue that we're addressing right now, I reflect back to some of the words of Dr. Hansen in that I guess I'm an American who still believes in the free enterprise system, and I think our problems that are being addressed here and are very frustrating problems and very real problems, but I think they're problems that are caused primarily from housing shortages. And we're going to have housing shortages. There's, you know, the building industry. I think right now in Anchorage, the housing crunch has been somewhat eliminated, and I think it's because of our response in the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation program and the financing program such as ADA through tax-exempt bonding and other creating financing by individuals to bring private money into the state of Alaska to eliminate these housing shortages. One that was mentioned that I think doesn't get enough credit is the home equity program through Alaska Housing Finance and other first home buyer programs that have allowed many of our renters in Anchorage to move into home ownership in small condominiums, low priced houses, that type of thing. To give a few statistics on that, we built and developed in Anchorage close to 2,000 of these low-priced condominiums last year. It surprised many people when these condominiums were readily absorbed into the market. I think if you'll take a look at those buyers, we have well over 80% of those buyers being formerly renters in a tenant status that have now moved into home ownership. This far surpasses the number of apartments that were built, but it in a much better way, in my opinion, handled the shortage of rental housing. I'll keep my comments short here. I had a number of things to address, but the problems that are faced in Juneau that were testified by a young lady there that testified, in my opinion, are caused by a shortage in the marketplace that is not caused by a normal market. It's being caused by a shortage because of the lack of confidence of investors to move into that area because of the capital issue and other issues that have been raised that have not allowed investors to go in and produce a normal market in Juneau. I would much rather address those kind of problems than to address a problem in rental housing that, in my opinion, if we will, you know, it won't be perfect, but if we'll rely on the free market system, we'll have a lot less problems than if we try and dictate everything that we all ought to be doing here in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. We'll take the next person to testify. For those of you who are there, I'd ask you to stay. Time permitting, I think there are some questions that will be addressed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ben Marsh, M-A-R-S-H. I am the executive director of, executive secretary, I should say, of the Alaska Landlord and Property Managers Association. I would associate myself certainly with the remarks that Dr. Hansen made earlier on behalf of the association, and perhaps add a few comments. We feel as a group representing a sector of the community that we're seeing a long-term nibbling away by government of the freedom of choice of people who own property and are attempting to make their way in the economic world. And that bothers us. We would like to urge you as a general matter to, as general policy, to refrain from adding new controls every year or every session of the legislature to the ability of people to manage their own property and exercise their own freedom of choice. We feel that that tends to stifle the free market and cause more problems than it solves. We have some members, for example, who own rental property in Anchorage that are out of state, that have experience in other states, and we are told repeatedly that controls that are added by government are continually self-defeating, in that they discourage or prevent people from investing their capital in trying to meet the needs of the community. We don't like to, we're afraid that that may happen. We have seen the stifling effects of rent review and rent control in the past, and we think that if we continue on this in this method, in this direction, that it'll be very damaging, and that the shortages will get worse. I think that you can see what happens in Juneau when there is an uncertainty about the future, for example, to a private investor. However, if this bill does pass, then we would like to recommend that a number of exemptions be included in the bill in order to give some reality to the situation as it exists in the rental market. We would like to suggest, for example, that there be an exemption from the provision that you cannot refuse to rent on account of parentage for efficiency in one-bedroom apartments, because those apartments are primarily designed for adults. We would like to suggest that there be an exemption for owner-occupied duplexes where the owner occupies one unit and rents the other unit, and an exemption for private homes where a person owns his house, perhaps is leaving the state for a period of time, and rents his house, but he's not in the business of rental. He's simply attempting to retain his ownership of his property. We think also that there ought to be an exemption for housing projects designed for the handicapped and for the elderly. And I happen to be a member of an investment group which is presently in the process of constructing or developing student housing on property adjacent to the University of Alaska. We have the intention of making this housing available primarily or on a first-come, first-served basis to students. In the event that there aren't enough students, of course, then we would consider other kinds of tenancy. But we would like to accept tenancy rental applications for students first, and we're aware of the fact that students have a particular kind of occupancy. They are particularly kind of people, and if you have a 24-unit building, for example, with 23 units occupied by single students and one unit occupied by a family with small children, the landlord is going to have lots of calls in the night. And there isn't any getting around that sort of thing. We would also like to see a general provision that written into the bill that would allow landlords to promulgate reasonable rules and regulations in regard to the use and rental of this property. If those protections are built into the bill, then it may not be that damaging, but again, we would like to reiterate our position that we are opposed to the bill in its present form.
Excuse me, Mr. Marsh, I didn't take note of the first recommendation that you had. I picked up on the owner-occupied duplex. Could you restate the first one again for us?
The first exemption would be that single bedroom, one bedroom, and efficiency apartments would be exempted from this restriction relating to parentage.
I think we've got enough here. One of the representatives had asked for a copy of this. I think we can provide that here. Let's go to the next person. If we can be brief, hopefully we can address some questions before our 10 o'clock deadline, which is your 8 o'clock there.
My name is W.R. Varnell, Jr. I'm an owner, property manager. I'm not associated with the landlords group. Presently own and or manage approximately 100 units in the Anchorage area. The mix is approximately 25% one-bedroom and efficiency apartments. The remaining 75% are two-bedroom or three-bedroom apartments. At this time, we do not rent one-bedroom efficiency apartments to people with children. We rent all of the existing two- and three-bedroom units to people with families, with the exception of six units that are located in buildings that are primarily one-bedroom apartments.
Excuse me, sir. If I could break in. Mr. Vanell, can you hear me?
Like downtown areas that don't have suitable facilities.
Excuse me, could you check for an open microphone?
In this respect, I would say that we do not discriminate against families with children. I agree with Mr. Marsh's suggestion that one-bedroom and two-bedroom units, one-bedroom and efficiency units be exempted if the bill does pass. I would like to bring to your attention that the Alaska State Housing Authority has been participating in something that's called a Section 8 program, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And in this program, the government is attempting to raise the standard of living or the quality of living of some of those less fortunate people by providing them an atmosphere that is less crowded to live in. In this respect, the rules that they go by are one-bedroom apartments are not suitable for children. In two-bedroom apartments, they will allow two children if they happen to be the same sex. And they will not allow three children. These are basically the same guidelines that we're using today. As far as the Section 7 in the proposed bill regarding advertising, it would be a tremendous waste of everyone's time to advertise an apartment as available and not be able to state that it is a one-bedroom apartment and that it is not available to children. I agree with Mr. Kendall's statement wholeheartedly. Mr. Kendall apparently only has one-bedroom apartments. We operate in exactly the same fashion, but our mix is completely different, and the two-bedroom apartments that are available are available to children. I question the addition of parenthood in the program. I have had some problems with the race or color situation, which basically is the same law. And one of the gentlemen in Juneau said that this could be cleared up by the Human Rights Commission. I've been before the Human Rights Commission, and I must say that it was a time-consuming and very frustrating situation. To make a long story short, we evicted a black lady who was single and had one child from a two-bedroom apartment. She was an extremely undesirable tenant. As a matter of fact, some of the tenants in the same building were complaining about her were black. She reported us to the Human Rights Commission, and we had to defend ourselves. To make a long story short, I got a number of people to testify on our behalf, all of whom were black, and was finally told by the Human Rights Commission that that wasn't good enough, that I had to locate a single black woman with a child to testify that I wasn't discriminating against a single black child. Fortunately, I was able to find a person and avoid against prosecution under the law. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll at this time take the next person.
Well, we should give him the reason for the eviction.
I'm Alice Brewer. I'm a member of the Alaska Landlord and Property Managers Association, and I was down in Juneau yesterday and left my remarks with some of the members of the committee. Also, when I was talking with Jeff Berry yesterday, he suggested that some of the concerns about the noise of tenants with small children could be addressed by having rules, house rules, comparable to the rules that one would have against people who had loud stereos and so forth. But I contend that an immature child does not have an off button. An immature child has a lot of energy that cannot be expended in other ways. Merely because the neighbors in the apartment below have come home from work tired and would like to enjoy a quiet evening before bedtime does not ensure that the children above feel the same way. While I was living in Washington, D.C. in a second floor apartment with an 18-month-old child with boundless energy, I used to take him for walks to try to tire him out because the neighbor below had a very demanding job. This isn't a possible solution of very many months of the year in Alaska because of our weather. We are boxed in. My suggested addition, if the bill as stated, if the committee feels that this must pass, would be to include a letter of intent somewhat along the lines that I have outlined here. My suggestion is that the letter of intent goes something like this. The legislature recognizes the right of landlords and property managers to contract with whom they will in regard to renting their property, subject to restrictions placed on them by law. The legislature further recognizes the right of tenants to the quiet enjoyment of their place of domicile. In balancing the concern of parents in finding housing suitable for their families with the right of quiet enjoyment of tenants whose families have grown up or who never had children, the legislature finds that not all apartments are suitable for children of all ages. There may also be apartments which would pose problems of health and safety to younger children, which would not be the case with older children or adults. The legislature therefore accords some discretion to landlords and property managers in determining which buildings or parts of buildings would be suitable for young children. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Mrs. Brewer, for your recommendation. We'll take the next person at this time.
Good Chairman, gentlemen of the committee, I'm Mary Thew, T-H-E-W. I'm a landlord. I belong to the Landlord and Property Managers Association. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about this bill. I own a duplex and a fourplex. I oppose House Bill 131. I rent to parents with children. However, I prefer the liberty of making the business decision for myself without intimidation by the government. I have a duplex in the South Addition of Anchorage. It has a fenced yard, play steps in the back, four bedrooms on each side. I have no children in it because I don't discriminate. The government helped me make this decision. The duplex is rented to two single women on each side. This very valuable, desirable unit, which could be made available to children, could not be advertised, children only. I couldn't say, no, you ladies can't have it, because our human rights people are very active here, and it costs an arm and a leg to defend oneself. I foresee a number of problems if this bill is passed. One, rents may be raised to compensate additional wear and tear expected by children. Two, security deposits may be raised to the maximum. Three, changes will be made in the rental agreement by adding for each additional person a certain sum of money. Four, very small units will be built in the future. Five, more restrictions on the number of persons occupying the units. Instead of saying no children, the rent will be raised and only two people will be allowed to occupy the unit. I have a great concern over overcrowding and lack of privacy if people are landlords are required to rent small units to a mixed group, such as the children of different sex, maybe two adults of different sex, in a one-bedroom or an efficiency apartment, or even in a larger one if there's a great many children. And I realize that families with great many children have more difficulties than those of us who had one or two. I'm also aware this is a taboo subject, and none of us have ever participated in it. No one knows anyone who has. But our mental health people, our sociologists, and our law enforcement people are reporting epidemic problems with child abuse and incest. Perhaps we should think about privacy and space. These agencies are asking for a great deal of money and getting it, incidentally, to try to correct some of the damage that are done to these children. This may not be the cause, but something is causing this problem if they tell us it's epidemic. And most conservative family-oriented people are very concerned about the issue. So perhaps you people who are in the legislature have information regarding the if and how overcrowding or lack of privacy may affect these children. And I urge you to either look at it or get it before you make any decisions on adding to the problem. And I would like to comment on, I believe his name was Mr. Gillespie, who said the Daily News rented to all kinds of, or restricted their rentals. Well, I did a survey on the Sunday paper, the Daily News. There was 58 in unfurnished units that were to be called. Three of them said no children. One of them was the council apartments on Minnesota that had absolutely no yard, had security, and all of those small units, I believe. I'm not absolutely sure about this, but I know there's no yard. There were two people who would limit the number of children because of the size of the unit, and there was 12 no answers, and 41 units would take children. In the homes for rent, there were 18 units I called. 12 said yes, 1 said maybe, and 5 didn't answer. And I thank you for your time and hope that you will give some thought to the business that landlords try to run. It is a business. Many of us derive our income from it. Obviously, I'm not getting a whole lot.
Thank you, Mary. Are there other persons there to testify?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the testimony has all been heard at this time.
At this time, although it's 10 o'clock and the meeting is normally over, we will continue the hearing as long as there are people here. We do have some questions that I would entertain at this time from this end. Any representative with a question? Representative Herbert?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Herbert, the sponsor of the bill, and I'd like to direct this question to anybody. It's kind of a leading question, maybe Mr. Marsh. I notice the bill says that you can't discriminate here, since it is lawful for the person to... Anyway, essentially, you can't refuse to sell, lease, or rent to 8 different ones, like sex, marital status, changes in marital status, pregnancy, race, religion, color, or national origin. But when parenthood is added to it, it seems strange that all of these testimonies would be against it when all of these places to rent are open to children in Anchorage. If there's no problem, it wouldn't seem that adding that one word parenthood in this bill would make any difference. I'd like to have some response to that.
Representative Herbert, we feel that it makes a tremendous difference, especially on this particular category, because it's a category which is certainly open to interpretation under situations where housing is short and the demand is perhaps different than the available supply, then there is bound to be differences of opinion on this matter, and landlords are going to be placed in the position where they'll continually have to defend themselves, perhaps before tribunals of various kinds, for their decisions in regard to the number of persons or the types of tenants that they will accommodate in their units. And this is going to be a continuing problem. We see it not only as an additional limitation upon freedom of choice, but a signaling of a new range of problems to contend with in this business.
Representative Herbert, additional questions?
Just one.
Continue.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Marsh. I'd like to relate just one and ask for your comments. I rented a place in Anchorage in December. I'm a non-custodial parent. Apparently, I had a place that didn't allow children. I had my children in there overnight with me on my time that I could have visitation rights, and they was about ready to throw me out over that. I'd like your comment on that.
Even landlords, who are normally very a very reasonable race of people, sometimes have unreasonable individuals.
Are there additional questions from committee members? Representative
Can't answer
Malone?
That.
I don't know who it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had
questions for several people. I don't know if they're all there, but I'll start with Mr. Marsh, and recommended some specific exemptions to House Bill 131. One was to exempt efficiency units or one-bedroom apartments, and I'd like to ask whether that would be on the basis of occupancy by the number of people, or what the reason for that exemption was, suggested exemption was.
Are you referring, Mr. Chairman, to the proposed exemption for one-bedroom apartments and efficiencies?
Yes, Mr. Marsh, this is Hugh Malone. That's right. That's what I was asking about. You had recommended some specific exemptions. One of those is efficiency or one-bedroom apartment. My question was whether that was because of the number of people, that is, would be limited to one person, or whether there was some other reason behind that.
No, there's no other reason. We see from time to time legislation on the local level which relates to, it's commonly called housing codes. Housing codes tend to limit the amount of space to be provided per individual. Landlords in constructing units design those units for a certain limit of level of occupancy. I once managed a 76-unit complex that had playground areas and so forth, and a lot of 2 and 3 bedroom units designed specifically for children. But I'm aware that there are other complexes which perhaps have tennis courts and so forth, which are designed for adult recreation, do not have any facilities for children and are not intended for those. However, to get back to the exemption proposed, it's my experience that units that are built with one bedroom or efficiencies are never intended for occupancy by families with children, and therefore it would be inappropriate to require by law that that kind of tenancy be accommodated.
Continue, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. That's why I want to get some clarification on that. And in your testimony, you said something like this, that this bill might represent another part of the long-term nibbling away by government of freedom of choice. And I don't know what freedom of choice that government has nibbled away here that you're referring to. And I guess my question is that in the legislation, it would expand the housing market for families with children or single parents with children. And seems to me that that expands freedom of choice, but I don't, if you could give me some examples of how people's rights have been nibbled away by government, because I thought the job of government was to make sure that the rights, individual rights, are protected.
Mr. Marsh, would you like to respond to the question?
Yes, I would say that that landlords over the years have found themselves with more and more situations in which they are required to defend themselves based upon their decisions for occupancy or evictions, for example, or their right to set rental rates. There have been attempts on the part of government to legislate in all of those areas. Some have been actually done, and some have not.
For the benefit of those persons in Anchorage, we do have one additional person to testify. I'd like to go ahead and at least put this testimony on record. The person is Kathleen Isris?
Isris.
And again, would you identify yourself, spell your last name, and who you represent?
My name is Kathleen Sturz, and I represent myself.
Would you spell your last name, please?
Isturiz. And this bill really concerns me because I am indigenous in this area. I live in this place, and I am constantly frustrated with trying to find a place to live. my status changed after I had a child. Previous to having a child, I had no problem finding places to rent. But as you get older, college roommates get cute in college. But when you're older and you have a child, people look at you a lot differently when you go to work. You always hear. Yesterday I was driving into town, and there were two places for rent. No children, no pets. And it's just been going on for years, this frustration building. What I do to alleviate it is I go out to the village every summer because I don't have a housing shortage out there. And then when I come back to town, the agony begins. Listening to the radio, talking to everybody. I just have a daughter that turned 4. She thinks it's just fantastic. She has a bedroom. What it is a closet that we've kind of renovated for her bedroom. This is just a temporary arrangement because I was desperate and could not find some place to live until the end of May. Again, I will go out and look for a place to live. When I was pregnant and came back to town, I could not find any place to live. They said, well, after the baby's born, I had put my name on low-income housing, and they said, well, we're really booked solid and the list is long. But possibly if you're in a real desperate situation after the baby is born, you can come and you might be able to have some here for you. I said, well, what do I do until my baby's born? I found an old falling down Indian house on North Douglas. I renovated it. I did that for almost 3 months every day. This place was a mess. I put $1,000 worth of work into it, put a porch on it, repaired the windows, got 100 feet of coil, bought an oil cook stove, cut a hole in the wall so the heat could flow. And I lived in there happily for 4.5 months. And then when I went back out to the village, the people that had let me fix it up had sold the house. And I was back looking for a place. And it just goes on and on with all my horror stories and how I never, I do find places to live, but sometimes it takes as much as 7 months looking, talking to people. So I just came here to let you know that I am one of the many frustrated women. Looking for places to rent. And you said something about efficiency apartments. Maybe you can afford an efficiency, and which seems wonderful when you have no place to live, but they won't rent you with a child because the efficiency is too small. And roommates don't want women who have children. So, that's all I have to say.
Good. I want to thank you for your testimony. Mm-hmm. Are there questions for the person testifying? Thank you. Are there questions for the persons in Anchorage? You want to continue that? Representative Malone, you had additional questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had some more questions, but I think they're probably along the lines of questions that have already been asked, so I'll refrain right now. Thank you.
Okay. Because of the lateness of time, I'll adjourn the meeting at this time, and go ahead, Representative Malone.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe this is by way of a comment or testimony of my own, and since I'm interested in the legislation, that this legislation is introduced by Representative Hurlburt. I don't think it is intended to be a solution to a housing shortage problem where those exist. And if you've got more people than you do units for them to live in, this legislation would never solve that problem. What it does is to prevent invidious discrimination and declares a contrary to public policy and to the rules of our society. And I don't think it, the only thing it does do is, in the case of a housing shortage, it allows the shortage to be equally shared among people with parents with children and people that don't have children. But I think to attack the legislation on the basis that it doesn't solve a housing shortage problem is to miss the point. It isn't designed to solve a housing shortage problem. It's designed to make sure that we have reasonable and fair rules in society for the treatment of human beings.
Thank you, Representative Malone. As I was saying a minute ago, because of the lateness of the hour, and most of the representatives on this end have already gone to their next meeting, I will adjourn the meeting, but continue this hearing Thursday at 8:45. We do have another piece of legislation scheduled tomorrow. Hopefully, then we will be able to come to some resolve. Okay. Appreciate those in Anchorage who have gotten up very early to provide testimony, and we'll certainly keep you informed of the deliberation on this legislation. Are there any comments from Anchorage, any wrap-up comments?
There appear to be none, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you, and have a good day.
What's the present status of the bill as drafted?